The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, maybe Jesus was wrong, or maybe it was all just a bad dream. Immediately before Jesus had invited Peter and James and John up the mountain to witness Jesus' transformation and God's public declaration that "This is my son, listen to him," Peter had been publicly and utterly shamed by Jesus. Jesus had asked, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And Peter had shot to the head of the class by answering, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He didn't stay at the head of the class for long, however. When Jesus explained what it meant for him to be God's Messiah, the Son of the living God, saying that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, Peter stopped him right there. "God forbid it, Lord," he said. "This must never happen to you." And that's when Jesus stopped him, publicly putting Peter in his place. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus hissed at Peter. Wow. Imagine Jesus publicly equating Peter with Satan. "You are a stumbling block to me," Jesus continued, "for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." But as we turn to the events of today, maybe Jesus was wrong, or maybe it had all been a bad dream. You heard what happened in today's gospel reading. Immediately after this very, very public disgrace of Peter, Jesus took Peter, James, John privately up a high mountain where instead of undergoing great suffering and death, he was described as God's Messiah. Jesus is transformed and transfigured before them, with his face shining like the sun and his clothes dazzling white. Not only that, while Jesus is transfigured, the two greatest superstars of the Hebrew Bible, Moses and Elijah, appear with Jesus. And as if that isn't great enough, God then appears in a cloud and publicly says about Jesus, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." So maybe Jesus was wrong. Maybe this Jesus, shining like the sun with clothes dazzling white, is Jesus' future identity as God's Messiah and beloved son. Maybe all that talk about great suffering and death was all just a bad dream, and this is who and what Jesus really is. Peter hopes so, And to make sure that that happens, Peter does one thing more, to hold this moment. We all have wanted to do that. We're in a very special moment in life. We just want to hold it and not have it change. Peter wants to capture it. Peter wants to build three dwellings, three booths, three tents in which to hold and keep the transfigured Jesus and the two Moses and Elijah and the prophets. But, sad to say, Jesus is not mistaken. Peter is not dreaming. And once again, Jesus needs to correct and overcome Peter's reluctance to let Jesus fulfill his true fate as the Lord's Messiah. Beginning today, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and what awaits him there. So this is where we are today, wearing white, Transfiguration Sunday. And like Peter, we may wish to enshrine Jesus forever in this mountaintop, in this bright and shiny moment. We want to stay in white, but also like Peter, we can't. In the church calendar, Transfiguration Sunday is but one day long, 24 hours. And then we, like Peter, must move on, following Jesus where he wishes to go. And where does Jesus wish to go? As soon as today is over and our mountaintop delight in Jesus' transfiguration is over, like Jesus, Peter, James, and John, and the rest of Jesus' followers, we must follow Jesus on his way toward another mountain. From the mountain of Transfiguration, our Jesus looks so bright and shiny, and in a word, majestic. And Peter, like us, would like Jesus to stay there. And that three-letter word, but, is really important. But if that's the Jesus we'd like to hold on to and put into a booth or into a tent, that is not the mountain. That is Jesus' goal and destination. The goal and fulfillment of Jesus' identity as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is found on Calvary, not on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's something kind of interesting about Jesus' last words before he died in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says, "It is finished." That can also be translated from the Greek as "it is perfect." Everything that Jesus strove for and sought in his brief time on earth has been accomplished on the Mount of Calvary. It is finished, or it is perfect. So why does Jesus make this mountain his destination? Why does he proclaim that his work there and not on today's mountain of Transfiguration is perfect? I heard somebody put it this way. The ultimate threat and power of evil in this world is death. As in, if you don't do what I want, if you don't obey me, you will die. And I repeat, the ultimate threat and power of evil in this world is death. So why does Jesus leave today's mountain in favor of Calvary by voluntarily and knowingly traveling to the Mount of Calvary and the cross? Jesus let evil exhaust all its power on him, using its only real weapon, death. Jesus trusted that God's love and life were even more powerful than death, and that he could overcome evil by letting it try and have its way with him. So we're right to hear Jesus' last words in John, translated both as perfect and finished. His work was finished, and it was perfect. But the church gives us one day to celebrate the bright and shiny Jesus. And Peter is right. It is so good to be here. But we can't stay here. Having given this day its due, shaking our Alleluia banners one more time before Easter, we will need to come off the mountain we were on and follow Jesus where he is leading us, toward that other mountain, Calvary. Beginning Wednesday, this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, two services, 12:15 and 7:30. That's what we'll be doing for the next 40 days. Following Jesus as he makes his way toward the fulfillment of his mission and identity as God's Messiah, the beloved Son of the living God. This is the journey Jesus wants to take for us. And he wants us to make it with him. On that mountain, Jesus let evil exhaust all its power on him, using its only real weapon, death. Jesus trusted that God's love and life were more powerful than death, and that he could overcome evil once and for all by letting it try and have its way with him. How good, Lord, it is to be here today. But how better, how infinitely better it is to be there with Jesus. Amen.